الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. One of the most poignant memories that I have is actually, of course, of itikaf programs that I've had the opportunity to attend with my teacher in the past, but particularly about what occurred when itikaf would actually come to a close. After people spend a certain amount of time cut off from the rest of the world, trying to reconnect with their Lord, they're cut off from the filth and all the noise and the pollution that exists in their external environs, and they're able to achieve a certain level of purity within the masjid, then people feel like they've really gained something. And people feel that they've earned something which is really precious and something that they don't readily want to let go, and they're afraid of letting it go. People would be afraid that, for example, that for 10 days they were protected within the environment of the masjid, and when they were going to step outside the masjid, that they would get raped by shaitan. They were afraid that for 10 days they had finally able to conquer certain demons in their life, and then when they were going to step out of the masjid, then perhaps their nafs would take control again and take them to those sins that they didn't want to do. And so there was a very real fear, and then what would happen is that the mu'adhin would stand up, and it would be maghrib time, and the mu'adhin would give the adhan, and obviously after that adhan, it would not, I mean, that was the end of Ramadan. So you'd see people sitting, you know, in their areas, in the musalla area, in the masjid area, and they would just be making dua because it's close to iftar time, and when the adhan would go on, the people would just start crying and crying and crying and crying. And it was just, it's a very vivid image that's in my mind about those final moments and about the type of connection that people develop with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there's a lesson in the fact that after Ramadan passes, so what do we do in Ramadan? In Ramadan, we fast for 29 or 30 days. Every single day we're fasting. And then Eid comes. And when Eid comes, it's so in Ramadan, we have to restrict how much we eat. We have to restrict how much, when and how much we drink. We have to restrict, you know, the type of relations one can have with their wife. And so there's a sense of, altogether, there's a sense of restriction. In fact, if you look at the word sawm, it means imsak, means to hold back. So the whole sort of theme in Ramadan is that you're holding back. And sort of the opposite thing happens on Eid day, right? Because you sort of let go, you have a good time, you're smiling, you're eating, you're, you know, sharing food with family, and it seems like a big flip. And that was one of the lessons I learned, at least from my teacher, is that, you know, when Ramadan was ending, everyone was in tears, you know, and, you know, people didn't want to leave the itikaf, but he would have a big smile. And so, you know, a less experienced person or a more naive person may have said, okay, what type of, you know, sheikh is this, or what type of person is this, that, you know, Ramadan is ending, and instead of crying, they're smiling. Right? We should all be in tears. But the lesson that he was teaching is that we are slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that even our emotions are enslaved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires that we happy, we smile. And when He desires that we be sad, then we frown, or we cry. And that was something, so of course, internally, which person is not attached to Ramadan, and who is a huge loss. But the idea is if Allah, that he was showing that, you know, ubudiyya, or being a true abd or true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is beyond that. It's not just about doing what you feel like, it's doing what Allah feels like you're doing, or what Allah wants you to do. And if He wants you to be happy, even though you feel like crying, then you smile. And that's exactly what He did, and He taught us to smile. It was a very powerful lesson that, you know, we take, at least I took with me in my life, that everything has to be subservient to Allah. even down to the fact of how we feel. So going back to the point that has started, I guess, a little bit earlier, so that was the first lesson. The second lesson is that in Ramadan, you see that the whole month you're fasting, and then Eid comes, and then this is a joyous day. But then immediately after that, what happens? What happens is that we're told that whoever fasts the 6th of Shawwal, it is as if they have fasted the entire year. So there's Nafl fast which follow in tow. So you had 30 days of fasting, and now immediately after that you're fasting again. And it's peculiar because, you know, while from a technical perspective, if you fast any time within the month of Shawwal, then it still counts, and it doesn't have to be that the days are consecutive. But if you look at how you know, Rasulullah fasted, and what the, you know, the real thing is that you actually fast the 6 days, the first 6 days of Shawwal, that immediately follow after each day. And when you think about this a little bit deeply, there are two or three lessons that come to mind. The first lesson that comes to mind is that we do not worship the month of Ramadan, we worship the Lord of Ramadan. So even though Ramadan has passed, the Lord of Ramadan has not. And it's really a very strong message that shows that, fine, you know, you are pious in the month of Ramadan, you stayed away from so many bad things in the month of Ramadan. And you see this, right? Boyfriend and girlfriend, they'll call each other, okay, we won't text each other during Ramadan. And people who even have very, sometimes very loose connections to the deen, they feel that they need to honor this month. People who didn't pray five times a day say, okay, no, Ramadan is here, I'm going to pray five times a day. And people who, you know, had difficulty praying anything for Nafil are setting up for 20 rakats in Tarawih. It's just, the month has that, you know, that effect on people. But the message here is that, fine, Ramadan came and now Ramadan is gone. So what is going to be your amal now? You slacken your worship? And really, the people who worship Allah, they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the month of Ramadan and after the month of Ramadan. So that's one, I guess, secret you can take from this. Second secret that sort of arises from this is that one of the trends that sometimes you will find that people who, after the finishing of Ramadan, sometimes even on Eid day itself, and sometimes, you know, in the immediate time right following after Ramadan, they fall into sin. And sometimes they fall into such sin that they thought that, you know, this is why I went into Ramadan, this is why I went into Aitikaf, this is why I, you know, worked so hard, so I wouldn't do this. And now immediately they trip and they fall right after Ramadan. And there's many reasons why this can happen, and some of the reasons we can actually touch on in the few minutes that we have. One of the reasons is that the nafs, the nature of the nafs is it doesn't like to be restricted. It likes to be a free animal, especially when it's not trained. It just wants to have whatever it wants, eat whatever it wants, do whatever it wants. It doesn't like restriction. That's one of the reasons why people find it so difficult to pray. Because when you're praying, look, you can't look around, you can't talk, you can't eat, you can't do anything, you have to focus. And, you know, the nafs is like the ultimate example of ADHD. It's very difficult to focus. It just wants to go everywhere. And you see that even with people who have, like, particularly like what they call cable syndrome or, you know, cable TV, that they're every few minutes they keep on flipping a channel because they get so bored. They're like, okay, flip a channel. And then after a little while, they flip a channel. After a little while, they flip a channel. Because the nafs is always looking to jump. It doesn't like to be restricted. And so sometimes what happens after Ramadan, after a period of restriction, then the nafs... So during the month of Ramadan, the nafs becomes much more tamed. But if you don't look out and you're not watchful, then it will reach back and it will bite, like a cat that you put in a corner. Then it gets very angry and it bites back. So now, yes, it's tamed, and it's easy that if you put a little bit of effort, you can continue to control it outside of Ramadan. It takes much less effort to keep it under control after Ramadan than before Ramadan. But if you don't, if a person is not vigilant and they just let go, then sometimes it will bite back. And then on top of that, shaitan is there to help the nafs. So he comes and he gives all these nice little... shaitan comes and, you know, he's now released, and he's coming also back with a vengeance. If you think the nafs has a vengeance, shaitan is steaming mad because he's like, you know, these people, this whole year I worked to destroy their akhira, the whole year I'm spending my day and night to ruin their lives, whole night I'm trying to disconnect them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these people are walking away with their sins forgiven, these people are walking away with their connection with Allah, these people are walking away with so many good deeds, I need to rob them blind. And so he comes back with a vengeance, and so he has these very sweet whisperings, such as, subhanAllah, Ramadan came, you did so many good deeds, you need to relax a little bit. Subhanallah, Ramadan, you had to sacrifice so much. Just for a little while, you don't have to be so vigilant. So he tries to bring down the security so that him and nafs together can have a backlash. That's why sometimes unfortunately, right after Ramadan, they end up slipping. But the lesson also that we learn from Ramadan is how vast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is. And so we shouldn't become discouraged by the fact that we fell or we slipped up. We're only 1 week out of Ramadan, subhanAllah. It's very easy to get back on the wagon and back on the horse and keep on continuing to control the nafs, inshallah, and things can still go. Because there's only a certain amount of training that occurred within Ramadan. And we can sort of continue that outside of Ramadan by being vigilant. And then the last point I just wanted to mention quickly that comes to mind is sort of the third secret, I guess, if you want to think of it that way, of Shawwal. Also speaks to another trend that you see with human beings. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. That man is very ungrateful. Whenever a person is within a situation of need, they always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when they achieve that thing that they want, then they become forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we've been told that if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remember you in times of need, then remember Him in times of plenty. So when we have things and things are going our way, that's when we should actually remember Allah. But generally you see that. The Quran has multiple times, sort of speaks to this psychology. And very powerfully, actually, فَمَنْ نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them and brings them back on land. So you're in the middle of the ocean, people are saying, the sharks are around you, you're about to drown into the depths of the ocean. People make such sincere dua, Ya Allah, save me, Ya Allah, save me. And then when He brings them إِلَى الْبَرِّ, when they have their foot established, إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ, they fall back into shirk. And you look at into each one of our lives, sometimes people are falling in the ocean of unemployment. They're falling into the ocean of not getting to medical school, or they're falling in the ocean of bad relationship with their family, or they're falling in the ocean of not enough money at home. And then their duas are going, and as soon as their feet become established on the ground, they have their job, they have their family relation, they get married to that person, they get into med school, whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them back to shore. Then إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ, people just become completely heedless and neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's really a travesty. And this type of thinking is sort of treated with the fasting in Shawwal. That's like the third secret. That we don't chase this particular finish line. Right? So the people, for example, whether that finish line is the answering for that dua that you've been asking so fervently for so many years. And you see this in other sectors too. Like, for example, a person says that, I just want to do X, Y, and Z, and I want to become hafiz, or I want to finish this course, or I want to finish, memorizing Juz'i Amma. Or they have this, and when they're working towards that goal, they work so hard, and they're so focused, and everyone can think in their life about a certain time where they had this spiritual boost, or they felt very dedicated to the deen, they're working hard about the deen, and they're working towards a certain point, right? And when they reach that point, then what happens, unfortunately for a lot of people, is then they let go. It's the same thing. You found that footing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a person back to shore, and then they let go, and they stop chasing with the same type of madness, the same type of craziness that they chased their goals before. And that was what I wanted to mention, is the third secret, that our finish line is not when we achieve our goals. Our finish line is when we go to the grave. That's when we rest. It's not when you become an alim, or it's not when you start praying five times a day, and it's not when you are getting up even for tahajjud every single day. None of those things are finish lines. Our finish line is when we go to the grave. And until we reach that finish line, we still have to keep on running. You know, Rudyard Kipling, he said it beautifully when he said, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything in it, and what is more, you will be a man, my son. And for most of us, our lives are that unforgiving minute, the entire expanse of our lives, and we have to fill it with 60 seconds worth of distance run. And we have to push ourselves, we have to keep on striving, we have to keep on working. We can't get comfortable and complacent. And that's what happens. Like, so for Ramadan, we're working, and as soon as Ramadan is over, we don't start taking it easy. Rather, what we should do is that we built up all this energy, we built up all this, you know, shauq, we built up all this passion and positive energy, and now we just have to channel it into good works. And we should help that, we should use that energy to help us push us further. That's what I mean to say. Rather than the opposite, that you collect all this energy and you say, oh, subhanAllah, look, now I have all this energy, and then you're just sitting one place. Now, then all the energy didn't benefit you. We don't look at the end of Ramadan as the finish line. Finish line is the day we die. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to keep the jewels and the precious treasures that were earned and gifted to us. It shouldn't even say earned, that were gifted to us in the month of Ramadan, and that He allows us to keep on running always closer to Him, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, that we just keep on fleeing and running to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He ever draws us closer to Him till the day we die, and that He takes us when at that point in our life that we are closest to Him and that He is most happy with us. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.